the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/Sheck. Free agency continues. The draft draws closer and closer. Matter of fact, about a month from now, we'll jump on an airplane and we'll fly out to New York City. We'll cover it. We'll be out there for a week. One of the guys that's going to be out there with us is seated directly across from me, all the way from London, England. Now he is perhaps the greatest Miami Dolphins fan not raised in these United States. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, thank you, Dave. Happy April Fool's Day.
Yeah, we're coming at you on April Fool's Day. Do they have that in England?
They do, yeah. Do they sell cards here? You sell cards for most occasions.
I don't think they do, mate.
I could send to someone?
No, I don't believe they make cards for April Fool's. Yeah, it doesn't rise to that level. Yeah. They don't make St. Patrick's Day cards.
Right.
Arbor Day. I don't think they have many of those. It's an exciting time, though, Handsome, and here's why, as if you haven't already figured it out. Football is off, but of course we now understand in the 21st century that pro football is a 365-day-a-year
right.
proposition, so it's never gone. We're always talking about the Sean Jackson or the Oakland Raiders or whatever else is going down. We'll get into those subjects in just a minute here. March Madness, you know, it's probably the best part of it is in the rearview mirror, but we still have the Final Four. Baseball's underway. The puck is soon to be dropped in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Soon after that, the NBA playoffs will commence. It's really glorious times for a sports fan, and as if that's not enough for everybody, Game of Thrones starts Sunday. We got to kibitz about that a little bit.
Let's
Handsome.
Talk about that later.
Yeah, the greatest sport of all, the game called life, the battle for the crown, for the throne. You know,
yeah.
And then also let's say hello to the man seated to my immediate right. No, it's not Adam Rank. He's AWOL. Where did he go? Did he go off to follow his halos around the country or something for baseball season? Black tie behind the glass.
I would guess so. Yeah, he's taking a vacation. Speaking of.
Yes.
On Thursday after today, I'm going to be out, so I'm not going to be in on Thursday. So
you work 40% of possible days to you here at the NFL. I don't understand what gives.
Hey, you know, man's got to do what man's got to do sometimes.
I know, but you don't have to take a vacation. That's not something you have. That doesn't fall under that category of have to. All right. Anyway, let's say hello now to the man filling the aforementioned seat to my immediate right from the Around the League podcast. And, of course, his very fine pages that you can read at nfl.com/Around the League. Here he is, former Bengals fan, now just a fan of pro football. It's Chris Wessing. What's the poop with you, fella?
Also a Cincinnati Reds fan.
I know.
You walked into the newsroom today and immediately informed me that my team is already a full game behind the Pirates.
That's right. Well, that's not jive, because you know I don't like to jive you. Our magic number over you is 160. By hour, I mean my Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's intimidating.
Is it wrong? How's everybody feel about that? This is one of the major issues in for sports fans. How do we feel? This is an old question, but let's address it. How do we feel about somebody like myself? I turned my back on the Pittsburgh Pirates because they stunk, and what's further, they weren't even trying to get good. There was a long period of time where it was clear that their management and their ownership was more interested in saving money than they were trying to produce a winning baseball team. I say when that's happening, you're a chump if you continue to spend your money. Of course, they accuse you of not being a loyal fan because they're incented to have you turn out and keep paying for stuff and everything else. I don't understand the fans that get sucked into this nonsense. If they're not going to be competitive or even try, why is it on me? Chris Wessing, I start with you.
This subject is very near and dear to my heart.
I know it is. You turned your back. As a little background, you were born and raised a Cincinnati Bengals fan. You, some years ago, turned your back on them.
And I did not do it lightly.
No.
I have a file folder in my desk downstairs, probably about 4 inches thick, filled with articles from the Cincinnati Inquirer, Cincinnati Post, which is now extinct.
Why do you carry it with you, by the way?
I brought it in one day because it was a subject on the Around the League podcast. The boys wanted to see it. But basically, you know, I did not take this lightly. There are years and years of articles in there outlining exactly why I quit the Bengals, what they had done to me to make them quit. And I have often made the argument that you have, that you're a chump if you continue to root for somebody who will not try to field a winner. And they'll always say loyalty, but that's a two-way street.
Listen, if they're breaking your heart, but they're making their best effort, it's, for instance, off the top of my head, I guess you would point to, like, the Boston Red Sox or the Philadelphia Flyers.
Even the Cowboys.
It's not as though they haven't been trying. They just keep coming up and breaking your heart.
Even the Cowboys with Jerry Jones. They try.
Right. Handsome, how say you on this very important fan-related question?
I mean, there's been times where I've been tempted, especially recently with the Miami Dolphins, to I have a problem that I couldn't let go. Even if I said, okay, this week I'm just not going to care. I mean, you know, in truth, if you think about what Wes had to go through to do that and wean himself off a team that presumably supported for what? How many years are we talking?
25, 30 years.
You cared about, let's say, for 20 of those years on a Sunday. You know, you'd either be watching the game or wanting to know what happened in the game. It's that, you know, Wes talks about it and makes light of it, but I imagine that process was a very, very difficult one.
Here's the dangerous game that if you want to play in this game, just be forewarned. You cannot do things like make threats and like I did when the Indiana Hoosiers, my alma mater, when they fired Coach Knight, I announced I'm turning my back on the program. I wasn't going to stand for that. He's done so much for the school, so on and so forth. I didn't like the notion of canning him. And so, as I said, a decade off. I took a decade away, self-imposed. They were put on probation. You know, no NCAA. This is double D AA or whatever. I put him on probation. And when the 10 years were complete, Tom Crean, as it happened, produced last year a really good Indiana University basketball team. They were number one for a while. I think they were even a number one seed in the tournament in 2013. And I decided, all right, this is the year I get back into them and perfect timing because they're good again. And you know what? The joke was on me because I couldn't do it. You can intellectually decide I'm into this now. You can't. Your heart wants what it wants.
I like this rule that you can't make threats. Idle threats. It's like the people during an election who threaten to move to Canada if their candidate doesn't win. There's no more
yeah,
of a turn off.
So true.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we'll miss you. Go to Canada.
All right, and by the way, that we've decided to use this this podcast here at the start of April as an opportunity to interact with you, the listener, the Czech Republic, the black sheep, black ties, burgeoning fan base there. Handsome, the Handsomes. Wait,
the
I always forget.
Devils, I think
the Handsome Devils is the name of his fan club. Do you have any fans, Wes?
No.
Yes,
no?
He does.
Go Wes is what yours could be, like the Go Wes supporters.
I think it's more like the Wes mess.
The West Coasters.
Okay. All right. That's all right. Anyway, we're collectively fielding your offer or your questions here on Twitter. Black Tie, just stop us. Jump in. Tell us what we need to answer here. There have been some good ones. A lot of mascot-related questions I've been getting lately. Which mascot would do well in this and that sort of thing. We did a good one last week. Meantime, the Raiders fans are not happy with me because I tweeted out what seems to be a pretty obvious statement. I said, look at who they have brought in now in this offseason. Their team is now Matt Schaub at quarterback. They have Justin Tuck, Lamar Woodley, Charles Woodson is still there. Now they have Maurice Jones-Drew. They have Darren McFadden. They also signed Carlos Rogers. I said, look out, NFL. The 2014 Oakland Raiders are going to dominate the 2008 season. And they didn't like that. They think that I'm being snide about their team. But listen, what is. They signed a bunch of guys that are over the hill. They don't like that so much.
That's the eternal truth about free agency, though, isn't it? Is that you are picking up people that other teams didn't want.
Yesterday's
for whatever
news,
they're
right? Yeah,
too expensive or too old or not good enough or whatever. But that's the way free agency works.
Wes, tell me this: you keep your eye on this pretty good, and we've talked about Lamar Woodley, and I find it laughable that Dennis Allen, I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks or so ago, said something to the effect that the reason Lamar Woodley was underperforming and kept getting hurt in Pittsburgh was that because the Steelers were misusing him. They had him at the wrong weight and so on, which implies, of course, that Dennis Allen, not exactly destined for the Hall of Fame at this point in his coaching career, is giving notes to Dick LeBeau, who is in the Hall of Fame. How say you?
That would be one way of interpreting it. I don't think he said misused, but he did say the reason why Lamar Woodley had hamstring injuries and other injuries was because his ideal playing weight is 270.
Mm-hmm.
In order to play outside linebacker in Dick LeBeau's scheme, he had to artificially keep his weight at 250. So I can see why you would come to that conclusion.
Well, what do we think about, because, listen, this is one of those teams. You talk about people who maybe turn their back on them.
Can I throw in the first Twitter question here?
I want to finish one thing, Black. We're in the middle of talking
about it.
Well,
it goes right in. It goes right into this.
I just thought you decided to have the least opportune moment to jump in.
This comes from Brad Wolf, who asks, what team has been the most disappointing this offseason?
Well, I wouldn't say it's the Raiders, although they started out terribly, and I think it's an interesting trend that if you went back and looked at the first weekend after free agency started, the punchline teams were the Raiders were getting a lot of heat, the Dolphins were catching a lot of flack, the Browns were getting beaten up, not just for their free agency stuff, but also for what was going on in the front office. I'm trying to think of who I'm forgetting. But what's interesting now is to look back a month or so later and say all those teams are probably better. And in fact, we have to retract the narrative that we created around those teams as being rudderless. And even though I make fun of the Raiders, they're not half bad. It's just the problem for them is in 2014, that division is going to be brutal. I don't see any fall. I mean, the Broncos offense isn't going to be as good as it was last year, I don't think, without Eric Decker in there, but it's still going to be good, and the defense is much better. The Chiefs are going to be good because I'm almost certain, and correct me if I'm wrong, fellas, they're getting a wide receiver in the first round, and if they do that and go put anybody who takes the top off the defense, as they like to say, alongside Dwayne Bowe and Jamal Charles, that offense is officially really good, and if you keep those defensive pieces healthy, that team's right back in it. In fact, that's the team that nobody's talking about this offseason. That's the Chiefs are yesterday's news. I think we all just sort of wrote them off because they limped home in the regular season. All right, the Broncos beat them not once, but twice. There was all that hype leading up to it. They're undefeated. Then they lose and they fall back again. Then the Chargers beat them in the last minute. And suddenly we're kind of like, yeah, the Chiefs. Then it looks like, oh, they're back on track against Indianapolis. And then you have the massive collapse there. But that Chiefs team remains interesting.
Where are you getting this Kansas City Chiefs optimism?
Why wouldn't I be optimistic about it?
Didn't they take apart their entire offensive line?
They did.
And scatter them to
They saw three offensive line starters walk away in free agency. Right. They lost some key players on defense. And they still have the problem that if Jamal Charles gets injured, they have no offense.
Well, I mean, that's a fair point. You take away Jamal Charles,
it's a pretty big point.
Well, it is, but of course we could play that game a lot. I talk a lot about the Jenga pieces that if you take away a non-QB, which guy is going to cause his team to completely collapse? Jimmy Graham is one, Calvin Johnson is one, and Jamal Charles is one. I mean, that's not really an indictment of the team to say that they're spectacular future Hall of Fame feature back. If you take him away, they're not going to be as good
anymore.
Most
of the Titans in the NFL, though, are the quarterback is that guy.
Right. You got to play that. You can't play it with quarterback because, you take the quarterback off of 20 teams, they'd all stink, you know. So the worst, so most disappointing free agent, let's start with Wesley. Who's had a bad one?
I'd say the Panthers. I mean, you're talking about all these teams who were seen as disappointing early on and are actually better. The Panthers are a much worse team right now than they were last year.
They have zero. Do they still have? Oh, no, they have Jericho Cotchery now.
Come on, Jericho Cotchery.
I mean, a very nice number four receiver
for
the Steelers.
Yes, on a good team.
Right. Very nice as a number four. Wow, what a luxury.
Their number two is Tyquan Underwood, whom the Patriots sent away on the day before the Super Bowl and said, you know what, we don't need you.
But what is the fix for that team? I mean, let's assume they get Marquise Lee. Do you now retract that if they get Marquise Lee in the first round?
I don't think there is a fix for 2014. I think they have realized that the debt that they have built up against the salary cap, they need a get-right year.
Right. I don't understand the salary cap, and I also, simultaneously, as much as I should understand it, I resent those fans out there that are way too up to speed on cap hits and what it means for 2015 and all that
stuff. I only say this
stuff.
Because this is what Gettleman has said at the Combine and more recently at the annual meetings. we can't make any moves because we're hamstrung by the cap, by moves that the previous regime
I know,
has made.
But so why? Here's the thing. This is really will sound moronic because I should know the answer to this, and yet I don't, and I don't like jive talk, so I'll admit I don't know what it means. How is it, then, that some teams can just sort of cut bait with they can create cap space? Why didn't the Panthers, as a for instance, cut either Jonathan Stewart or D'Angelo Williams?
That's a good question. Let's take Stewart for example. He has a contract which is basically a no cut contract. They can cut him, but they're going to pay him, I don't know the exact amount of money, but $7 or $8 million guaranteed, regardless of whether he's on the roster or not. And then it also leaves dead money on the cap, which makes it even less sensible for him to be cut. So it's more sensible for him.
But it's not more sensible to understanding that there's guaranteed money out there and it's just going to go get flushed down the toilet. Doesn't it still create practical cap space that they could use to sign a reasonable pass catcher? I mean, as it is now, they look ridiculous. They don't have, as you say, Tyquan Underwood would start for them right now, which is absurd.
I think if they cut Stewart, it actually hurts their salary cap instead of helps it.
How about D'Angelo? Same deal, you think?
I think he makes a fair enough amount that it doesn't make sense for them to cut him, considering they don't have any other proven healthy backs.
Do you feel that you have a pretty good handle on how Denver is able to sign all these players?
No.
Do you follow the math of it? Handsome Hank, do you have any sense? Because that's the question I get. What's going on? Do the Broncos not have a salary cap? How do the Patriots do this? How do they do it? I don't know. And I talk to people around here who are smart and understand math on top of football, and it really is very murky stuff.
Well, I'm not going to pretend I understand it. What I do know, though, is the, you know, as Wes alludes to with the Panthers, there's a price to pay somewhere down the line. So the Broncos are clearly mortgaging their future against, we have one, maybe two more years of Peyton Manning here. Let's get all the pieces we could possibly ever want, and let's go win a Super Bowl with him and those other pieces. But, you know, one day they're going to be paying for DeMarcus Ware when he's long gone from that team. One day they're going to be paying for all those guys long after they're gone, and then you have to make sure you draft well. And it sounds like the Panthers, or it seems like the Panthers, spent a lot of money on those two running backs especially and a few other bits and pieces, and didn't necessarily draft so that, you know, there'd be a guy that would end up replacing some of the older parts of that team. The Panthers are in luck, and this is kind of like the business of football is, you ultimately, what do you want to do? You want to sell tickets so that fans come to your games, right? If the Panthers had to do what they're going to have to do this year and not spend money in free agency, it's lucky they made the playoffs last year so that fans are still into the team. If they went into this season where they were like, we're not doing anything in free agency, we're not bringing any big ticket items, we're probably losing a bunch of guys, and we're preparing to spend a lot of money on Cam Newton somewhere in the next maybe few months or certainly before next season, and you went into it 5-11, you know, the stadium would be half empty.
Well, here's, you know, the interesting thing too with the with the Panthers, they absolutely, given the depth of this draft, they could go in the first two rounds. Forget just the first round; they could take back to back wide receivers. Kelvin Benjamin, you know, for all the projections that have him in the first round, the Florida State kid, he could conceivably be there in the second round still for them. But, you know, listen, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There are a lot of receivers. They, you know, they load up and get a legit one and a legit number three, and then all of a sudden they don't look particularly laughable.
Well, they still have their left tackle of the last decade retired.
Yeah,
that's
true.
A position of need.
Right.
Their guard, Travell Wharton, who basically turned the offensive line around last year, is thinking about retiring. So offensive line is just as big of a need area as wide receiver.
And their secondary was one of the weaker points of their defense last year. That was kind of as they headed into the playoffs, that was the position we all identified as, I think this is probably where they're going to fall down at some point.
Yeah, and also we have Mike Mitchell is now a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yes.
He's no longer back.
Captain
there.
Captain Munnelin's gone. Without a captain, your ship literally is rudderless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Touche. All right, Black Tie, what else are people buzzing about there on the Twitter?
Here's another good one from Stefan. He asks, what is the prettiest play in all of sports? I'd say the alley-oop.
The prettiest play. That's a tough one to define, really. I'm going through it. Prettiest. you know, I basketball sounds about right. I don't think football, given the nature of it, has too much beauty to it. Although, I think I know what Black Tie's going to say.
Hey, I'm Russell Wilson, and I throw a sexy deep ball.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Of course.
Handsome Hank, any thoughts?
I would say a great slip catch in cricket.
Is it something off the left foot of Beckham?
That would be him. That would be Black Tie. I would say a diving one-handed slip catch in cricket.
I don't know what that
means.
There you go. Wes?
With apologies to the hook and ladder and the Statue of Liberty in football, I'm going with a sentimental choice from the mid-'80s. Eric Davis robbing home runs over the Riverfront Stadium wall, which is about 10 feet high. So it's right about the same height as a basketball hoop. He'd bring his whole arm over the wall and pull it back. I saw him do it to Jack Clark twice in back-to-back games. And it was awesome. Just robbing home runs. Pretty play.
There are a lot of guys who have been great in our lifetime at doing that. Kenny Lofton stands out. Jim Edmonds.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim Edmonds
might be the most consistently dynamite at doing that sort of stuff.
But going with Eric Davis.
You know who really gets up there? Mike Trout. I mean, he goes about waist high up on the wall at the Big A when he does something.
Little 5'7" Kirby Puckett doing it.
Oh yeah, yeah. The late Kirby Puckett. Yeah, those were all good. What's the most exciting play, Wes? In football, I say it is the block punt.
Really?
I think that's very exciting stuff when the punt gets blocked.
Get it, Piggy!
You know, all that
big
kind of
man with a football.
Yeah, I like that. It's exciting. Well, he's going to get him. It's the timing of it because you almost see it every play. Every time they punt the ball, you feel like they come within a whisker of blocking it. And when they finally do, he got it. Get it. Pick it up. Run. You know, These aren't the guys you want trying to pick up the ball and run with it. So there's that element to it as well. I say that's the most exciting in football, at least.
I think the quarterback escaping a sack and then finding a player on the run deep downfield, Big Ben. We've seen Tony Romo do it. I think that's my favorite play.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers against the Bears last year. That was like the play of the year.
Yeah.
It had all of those factors.
Another one I like is, much as you like the deep ball, I love the kind of laser across the middle in the end zone, which goes between, you know, one linebacker coming one way, a safety, and it just squeezes in the window and it, like a tight end catches it and then gets drilled. But it still holds on.
You guys are forgetting the Shady McCoy run, man. He's nifty.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
But
to
that's
look
specific.
At.
We're not talking about what one player would you like to see.
Well, just Shady McCoy in open space.
Go back and reread the tweet.
All right, next question there, Black Tie.
All right, next question. This is a bit of an interesting one. Damashek, you might love this. At Bill's Fan Chair, he wants to know, why is awful negative and awesome positive? Isn't it being full of awe better than just having some of it?
Interesting.
Wow, that's some deep thinking there. I like that. Awful
is negative.
But it's full. It's awful. So it's full of awe. And when you're full of awe, it's not necessarily a positive thing. You can be in awe of someone's, you know, the magnitude of their evilness, you know, or whatever. But that's a mind bender. Awesome is right. It's like only some awe. You've given us a lot to think about, fella.
I don't know that we know the answer to that.
I think we'll just use the word awe-inspiring from now on and ditch the question.
I like wow, but I enjoy the wordplay. I enjoy people who
do. We know that the AW in awful is the same root word as the AWE.
I don't know.
Assume it is. I mean, you're communicating a similar type of feeling.
I took Latin in middle school. Did you, Wes?
I did not. No. I took French and Spanish.
Ooh. So you're trilingual?
I can't speak a word of either of those languages now, but I took them in high school.
Au revoir, mademoiselle.
Let's dig in more into your personality. Share with us next question from John Gimmel. He wants to know, who's got the most ridiculous, irrational fear? His is a fear of sharks.
That's completely rational.
That's not irrational.
I don't know if this is irrational. Maybe it's irrational. I should get along with people better than I do, I think. People's picadillos drive me crazy, though, to an unreasonable degree. It's not them. It is me. I found myself last night. I'll tell you one thing. First of all, I heard on the TV, I heard somebody use, because I love watching. I don't know why. I love watching HGTV. I find it very relaxing. It's a great way
what
to come
that?
Down. You know, the when they do the home makeovers and they help people.
Okay.
You never have seen, wait a second, you've never seen any of the shows where they go, house hunters, and they go around and they show three different apartments or houses, and the people.
I know the idea that you're coming with, but I've never watched this channel.
Well, a big deal with the people looking at the houses is always, does it have an ensuite bathroom? And it's so pretentious. Ensuite bathroom.
I don't know what that is.
It means that there's a bathroom attached to the master bedroom. But it's a big deal, and they all know the phrase "ensuite bathroom." It makes me sick. But wait, that pales in comparison. I was in a bar the other night.
So you're scared of people who like ensuite bathrooms?
I'm not scared of them. I'm annoyed by them, and so that's an irrational thing. It draws an unnatural amount of emotion out of me when I hear people say ensuite. It disrupts because, like I just said, I'm trying to relax. I'm winding down from my busy day watching HGTV. I don't need people talking about ensuite bathrooms and everything. Now listen to me. The next thing is, look who's walking into Studio 66. It's a celebrity sighting. No, not Tom Brady of the New England Patriots. Much more intimidating to us. It's Tom Brady, our boss. That's right. We have a boss who is named Tom Brady who works here at the NFL. Hello, Tom. How are you? What's the poop, fella?
I'm great, Dave.
Look like you've been getting some sun.
I did. I get a little sun over the last couple weeks.
You seem serious, like you have some bad news for one of us or more. If you want to break some news, do it on the podcast.
There's no breaking news. It's simply every now and again, and I think I may start to be semi-regular. No. Like still like Halley's Comet type of regular, right? Uh-huh. I need to make sure that you're not just doing the same old thing, right?
No, the same old
Damashek that everybody's come to love and enjoy. Yeah. But it's great to put you on your toes.
I see.
He's nervous right now.
He is.
A little bit.
You're nervous right now. And so that's what I'm here to do.
I want to tell. Well, then you can sit in and tell me your thoughts on this, too. I'm in a bar the other night. The basketball games are being played. You know, there are four fellas at the table next to me. Regular looking guys, 30-ish, I would say. And the one guy is holding court about IPAs. Now, listen, everybody, it's something I've mentioned before, and I'll say it again now. I understand that everybody in this world has to feel essential. That's what it's all about. The human condition is, you know, that you're the star of your movie, and we all are the stars of our own movies. But this thing where everybody has to, I'm an expert on something. You know, it's one thing to be a connoisseur of wines. It's another thing to be a connoisseur of beer. It's just beer, everybody. Lighten up. But this fella's holding court for his pals about IPAs and what makes a good IPA. And one quote that he had.
Don't they all taste exactly the same?
Yes, they do, kind of.
I like beer, by the way. I'm no stranger to the pleasure of beer. But this guy was making me not want to drink it anymore, guilt by association. This guy, I don't remember which one in particular he's talking about, but he goes, the problem with the makers of that one is they didn't have the guts to go full hoppiness on it, and they just wound up with a middle-of-the-road IPA. I almost stood up and punched his lights out of disgust for that.
Didn't have the guts to go full hoppiness.
Is this the Dave, measure of a man?
Dave, what does that have to do with me walking in here?
I don't know. Listen, you wanted to share something, or you're just randomly checking in?
Keep you on your toes.
I'm flattered by this visit.
I'm not saying that I'm going to make this show better. Probably it could be to its detriment, but it's very important for you to make sure that you are performing at 150% at all times.
And so, all right, you've been in here for a couple minutes.
What are you doing right now?
You're answering questions
right now, right?
That's right. My
guess is the questions fans want to hear from you. So
that's right.
Go back to the questions.
Well, that's specifically what I was doing.
Get back to it.
Let's do it.
Unless there was a question about IPAs, let's move on.
Don't Parcells me like I'm Phil Sims. I'm doing my best to handle the business here. All right, Black Tie. Next up. Now we have special guest Tom Brady.
Yeah, we do. I'll ask you guys. Do we want to go more player names, or do we want to go superheroes?
No, Tom Brady has come in here to take a snapshot
of
how this thing operates. Well, listen, you own it. You know we've entitled you
Let's do player names. Favorite player name in all of sport?
DeBrickashaw Ferguson. It's the baddest name there is. Well, the best name in football history is Otis Sistrunk. That defines the guy. Just see him, too, with the bald head and everything. Otis Sistrunk.
Stonebreaker.
Is the nickname included into it or not?
I'm going to allow it.
Okay, I've got a couple.
Go ahead, throw it at us.
Ed Too Tall Jones is...
Oh, that's a great one.
...is among the best.
Yeah.
This is pure name. And this is and you guys are all, you're going on the kind of almost silly route. But just when I hear Fred Biletnikoff...
Yeah.
Matters to me.
But Mike Stonebreaker was the same. If you're going to play linebacker, you would want to be called Mike Stonebreaker.
Yeah,
that helps you with everything you're trying to achieve.
Dean Steinkuhler. Let's go back to Nebraska.
90s college basketball. You've got God Sham God.
Yeah.
You also have, remember Scientific Map and his brother Majestic Map?
I remember Majestic Map.
Scientific Map and Majestic Map.
Wow.
I've said it. You know, listen, the people who I really admire.
It may be over right there. That extended it. You're exactly right.
Imagine this. In whatever, I don't know what year Merlin Olsen was born, but imagine this. They don't know that their child's going to grow up to be a pro football player, a member of one of the, the most formidable front fours in pro football history, let alone be the star of a TV show, Little House on the Prairie, that gets spun off into its own deal, Father Murphy. This is what he achieves, but they don't know that when they see their little baby. All they see is a child, but they're ambitious enough. Their glass is so half full that they decide, let's name him after a fictional medieval wizard. That's really setting the bar very high. That's really that's really rolling the dice there, and I admire it for one. It's the same thing as naming, the Bailey sons, their parents, Champ and Boss. That could really go wrong.
It could backfire.
Yeah, hey Merlin, you mind cleaning up stall number 3? Well, I think it's clogged.
Isn't it really the question about, like, as parents, you would say, God, I mean, is our kid really going to get harassed?
Right. Yeah.
And so good up for these guys for getting beyond that. Now, we're on the name topic here.
Saku and Mikko Koivu are the best brothers.
Better than the Map brothers?
Not better than Scientific and Majestic.
Wow. See, I feel some effort there. And you don't want to show the effort. Yarko, here's another good one. Yarko and Tuomo Rutu. Yarko and Tuomo Rutu.
All four of the brothers you just named sound like orcas.
I know. Well, there's something melodic about those Scandinavian names. I like those.
So here's my name story for you that I know you'll all appreciate. a year ago, I had the pleasure to speak at a panel for the league around player engagement, and I was fortunate enough to meet Harold Carmichael.
Mm.
And
number 17 for the Eagles, for the kids out there, used to catch what seemed to be a touchdown every week.
That's correct.
He was 6'8".
And he is still 6'8".
Hmm.
And he was my brother's favorite player growing up. And when I introduced myself to Harold, I said, and this is always great for any fans at home or any of you guys that, you always think, like, oh, if you're meeting an idol, meeting somebody that, as a boyhood hero, you want to ask something that doesn't just irritate them or whatever, but just that you have a good conversation and it's normal. So I said, Harold, it is a pleasure to meet you. My brother and I were big fans of yours growing up. And he's like, no, you're not. You're too young. I'm like, I'm really serious. My brother, especially, he was you were his favorite player, so much so. That he named his hamster after you. To which that just killed him. And he did, and immediately he loosened up and said, I've never in all of my years heard something that.
So your brother called his hamster Harold, or Harold Carmichael specifically went for two names?
His last name was Harold Carmichael, but obviously we didn't call him.
You didn't call him Harold Carmichael ever. Hey,
Dave Damaschek all the time.
Too formal around the house every day.
Fed Harold Carmichael today? Would just be, have you fed Harold?
Harold. Yeah. Just Harold. And I will tell you, this hamster, what is the average lifespan of a hamster? Black Tie, can we look that up?
producing for the first time in his life.
That's right. The average lifespan of a hamster, I would love to know, and we'll find that out shortly. This hamster seemed to live well beyond his years, and was one of those hamsters. There's two types of hamsters. There's either really friendly hamsters, sort of like the ones that any kid wants, where like they'll climb on your shoulder or go like just you can just let them run around the house, or ones that bite and are kind of nasty and just like spinning in the wheel and all that and going through tubes. Harold was so friendly. He was all over the Brady household.
It would have been creepy if you would have produced a picture of Harold Carmichael for Harold Carmichael and had Harold Carmichael sign the picture of hamster Harold Carmichael.
Just it's 2 to 3 years for hamsters.
Wow, that's longer than I would have thought.
He approached 5 years.
Wow.
It was well over four.
What does everybody think about this? This is morbid, but this is something I've been trying to point out to the kids because, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damischek and Oprah Damischek want pets now. They you know, like all little kids, they want pets. And I'm not going to say this to them, but I sincerely don't think it's a great idea, because why are you with so much? Our lives are filled with death. This is what life is for it to end. Why bring in creatures that you know, or you hope at least, are going to die before you? Why set yourself up for that sort of sorrow?
Well, there should be a good period before that.
I know, but so what?
A wonderful period about it.
It's sad. It's offset by the heartbreak of taking your animal into the doctor.
I brought up the Harold Carmichael story because this is getting very sad for our for our listeners. Let's move on.
Wes, do you agree with me or no?
I totally disagree. Like, I mean, why don't you just extend that into kids and wives too?
Because I want my children. Right. My children are intended to live past my days. Well, when I bring them into the world, I don't expect like. Well, I mean, you know, listen.
So you rather get rid of you then?
So rather than all the wonderful memories you have with your family and including your pets, you would rather just abstain from that.
Right.
Yes, that's my answer.
Boy, that's sad.
No, because here's the other name thing I wanted to bring up. I've addressed this with you, Tom. Wes, I'm interested for your thoughts on this. Speaking of names, you know, I fancy discussing fruit and produce in general. It occurred to me a while back that we have fruit called grapes, and we also have a fruit called the grapefruit. I feel like this is the height of laziness, that the guy at the fruit factory naming fruit, when the day they were handing fruits out, was like, we'll call these grapes. And like, oh, you got tickets for me for the game tonight? Yeah. Call that one a grapefruit. Yeah, all right, we'll see you next week. Like, whoa, fella. No. You can't do – we already have one fruit. And by the way, they have nothing in common except that they're both fruit. They're the one is a big orange thing with red bitterness inside. The other one is a sweet little nugget, you know?
I would say –
what gives here?
The laziness part doesn't bother me nearly as much as two fruits that are nothing alike but have the same root name. That would bother me more than – I don't think the laziness – I'm not buying the laziness thing.
We need to rename the grapefruit. Yeah, grapefruit. It's so lazy.
I feel like grapes are already established.
Yes, Tom.
All right, guys. Before we wrap here, we got one more question.
What are you talking about? We didn't even hear from our boss, Tom Brady, yet.
No. That's right. B, again, from a production standpoint, what I would do – is I would also be online saying derivation of the name grapefruit. I mean, you know.
That's interesting.
When I'm dropping in here, okay. I'm dropping for everybody to bring their A game.
I got it.
Do we have an update yet on DeSean Jackson?
No update on DeSean. He's still negotiating. Apparently, he's people are negotiating with the Redskins.
Can I squeeze in one more name?
Please.
Of a fruit?
B.J. Upton. Do you know what that stands for?
No.
Boss Man Jr.
No,
tell me
doesn't.
That's not a great
that's
name.
That's not true. That's
Boss
his given name is
because
Boss
his dad's
Man
nickname
Jr.
Was, his dad's nickname was Boss Man.
I always
so
feel bad.
It stands for Boss Man Jr.
Junior. I like it.
It's a great name.
Why? But
if this was a competition, Wes just crushed everybody.
Don't you think, though? Don't you feel bad for his brother, Justin?
Yeah, just regular old Justin.
The one child gets a super cool name. I said it to Michael Bennett when he is in there. Fine, he's a world champion with the Seahawks. On the other hand, his brother is Martellus. He's Michael.
Yeah.
Well, boo.
They
ran out of energy?
What's
that?
Just had one good name in the locker. And
I guess
after
so.
That, it was like,
I suppose
Michael
so.
Oh, wait a second. Remember Fennis Dembo from Wyoming?
Sure.
Do you know how he got the name Fennis? This is a great story. So his family had like 13 or 17 kids. And on the birth certificate, they put Fennis because we're Fennis having kids.
That can't be true.
It is true.
Wow.
That's great.
Hey, real quick, I do want to say about DeSean Jackson, because at the time of this recording, we don't know where he's going to wind up. The word is that he's negotiating with the Redskins. We'll see if that actually pans out into a deal. My first reaction to this is DeSean Jackson, if he gets in the right spot, could be, I mean, if he would go to the Chiefs and they say they couldn't work out the numbers to make it work, but that, like where we started off, now the Chiefs wouldn't need the draft, they could use the first round pick on an offensive lineman, and you put DeSean Jackson next to Dwayne Bowe, and then you also have Jamaal Charles out there, gangbusters offense. Now, I don't love the fit in as much as the Redskins need another weapon out there for RG3. I have a bad feeling about Jay Gruden, what he's going to do in his first year. This is another thing for him to manage. I don't love it. How say you, Wes?
I like it.
You do? You think this would be I think it relegates the Cowboys to a best third place in that division if it works out that way.
I like the fit. I think Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson, I don't think either of those guys is like a prototypical number one, but they're both right on that borderline. Throw in Andre Roberts and then Jordan Reed. We're talking one of the best offenses in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I guess we can't sleep on Alfred Morris and what he's done in two straight years now. Handsome?
I think DeSean Jackson, to me, feels like a little bit like the Seahawks did with Percy Harvin. He's a nice piece for a team that's like one little bit away from a Super Bowl, but I feel like the Redskins have got a bunch of other issues they need to address.
I think
the Chiefs would be a good example. I think maybe the Panthers, if they'd managed to keep some of the rest of that together. But I don't see how it's the difference for the Reds.
Judy Batista on NFL.com has an interesting piece up there right now speculating, mm-hmm. but it really is a lot of speculation involved. And I'm really anxious to find out what is the real thing going on there. What did the Eagles find out that would make them cut bait with DeSean Jackson, who, it's been overstated by guys like Ron Jaworski, was their offensive MVP last year. Of course, that ignores Shady McCoy's presence. But that said, obviously he was the number one target there. Do you think, Wes, that Chip Kelly just assumes, hey, I made Riley Cooper productive. We now have Macklin back. We don't need this. Do you think it was a headache thing, or do you think there's something much darker at play here?
This is going to be a boring answer, but probably all of those things. What makes them pull the trigger, I would assume, is something darker behind the scenes.
Hmm. But if that were the case, the NFL, you would assume, collectively is in line and would be able to sit. I'm certain that the other teams would then reach out to the Eagles and say, what gives here, fellas? We don't want to latch onto this guy, and out of professional courtesy, wouldn't they say, listen, we didn't just do it because we think he's not a perfect fit for Chip Kelly's offense?
Well, don't roll out the advice that a young – was it Don Ohlmeyer in the 70s? Gave to Tony Kornheiser, the answer to all of your questions in sports is money. $10.5 million, he counted $12 or $13 million against the cap. All these stories
about
that.
Maybe it is that simple, because the thing with DeSean Jackson, it's something I've heard over the last week since he got released, is you can't argue with his on-field production because he's dynamite. Look at his numbers. Well, yeah, look at what he's done. Until 2013, he kind of was underwhelming. He was spectacular in stretches, but he certainly was not, like you say, Wes, a number one wide receiver.
But also, you shouldn't underestimate the fact that every general manager and coach's ego makes them think that they can fix whatever the broken part of him is. So
I agree with that, but I'm saying if there is something that if the Eagles discovered some nefarious stuff about him, then you would think that the NFL would weigh in here and say, hey, rest of NFL, kind of let's steer clear of this guy right now. Anyway, Tom Brady, do you have any thoughts on DeSean Jackson? You're a Chiefs guy.
I'm looking forward to seeing where he goes. I truly am. And I think he's has enough big play capabilities to make the team better and certainly be another weapon for RG3.
Can I tell
Love
you something?
Love to see it happen wherever it goes. It would be great to see him go to the Chiefs. It would be great to see him go anywhere.
For what it's worth.
And on that note, I bid you
adieu. Before right. Tom leaves.
Wait, you got to give it a grade, Tom.
Yeah,
what was the show, the 10 minutes you
well,
were
well, before he, only before, here? Before he does that, let's solve this grapefruit mystery, all right? I got this.
All right.
So I did some research, doing some producing here. It is suggested.
I can't believe we have to celebrate that you did work.
Check it out. Check it out.
Excellent.
He has to.
If you see a grapefruit growing on a tree, you will notice that they grow in clusters. It is suggested that these clusters resemble the shape of a large yellow grape, and so the fruit was called a grapefruit. There you go. That's why.
That's not a satisfying answer.
Why is that unsatisfying to you?
you already have the grape, so now you can't do that. Oh, but
someone walked by, and they look like large yellow grapes. Yellow grapes.
Well, first of all, it looks like a circle. So what? Every fruit's a circle. What does that mean?
Pay attention. He said clusters. He said are clusters together.
We've answered the eternal question, what came first, the grape or the grapefruit?
So are we going to, so then apples and pineapples and all this jazz, we're going to allow all this nonsense.
What a great teaser for next week's episode.
And lastly, before Tom leaves, thin mints or Samoas, Tom?
Oh, yeah, this is a good question.
We're taking a score.
I would have said, without a doubt, the thin mint as far as growing up. But in the last 8 or so years, something must have happened where the Samoa just became. And I don't even like coconut. I do not like coconut, but Samoas are really delicious.
Man, the poop is these Samoan cookies.
Please show yourself the door.
I can't wait.
Listen, outside gentlemen, those walls, you're in charge, but in Studio 66, I'm not going to stand for that kind of talk.
It's been a pleasure.
Please be gone. I mean, that was an attack on my ears. I'm sorry that you had to hear that, everybody. By the way, I live it, too. I don't eat a ton of Thin Mints or any Girl Scout cookies in this day and age, but I did have a sleeve of Thin Mints. I could polish that thing off. And here's the thing. It's not just that I could eat one of those sleeves of Thin Mints and do it without much harm. I could do it in, I bet you, 150 seconds is about what it would take me. They just go down. Not that that makes it good, but I mean, I can just polish those things off without batting an eye. We should try that, in fact. All right, so what else, Black Tie?
I'd like to weigh in on this. No contest.
What?
Thin Mints, way better.
Thank you, Wes.
Across these lips, no coconut shall pass.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. All right, people want to hear me do your accent. I did it a little bit, Wes. Sometime I'll write a script of Handsome Hank having a conversation with Chris Wesley. Hey, Damashek talked too much on the podcast, didn't he? Well, what else is new, Chris? That's Damashek for you. He's quite chatty. Well, I don't know about guys like him. I find that a little bit questionable, talking so much. That's no way to treat a guest. You invite me on to your podcast. I come up there. I don't even know how podcasts work. I don't even know what it means. It's like the radio, but not quite. And I want to talk about this, that, and the other. And he's busy flapping them gums of his. Like, well, Wes, you and I got through this together. He's not the greatest of chaps. But anyway, all right, I don't know. So,
all right, speaking of
Henry
accents.
Henry and I start hanging out, and you think that we're going to talk about you?
Right. Well, of course he does. He's the star of his own movie.
That's right. Oh, we're not done yet, handsome. Wait, hold on
a second. I'm not going anywhere.
Last question, speaking of accents, from our fan super producer.
We have
producer.
To talk about Game of Thrones for a second.
Oh, that's true. We got to do that, too. From a fan super producer, Neil Dutton.
I actually like stale bread.
He wants to know which advertising campaign has put you off the product advertised the most.
Put you off the product?
So many.
Pick one. You got one.
I don't understand this late. I mean, I can just start with right out of the gate. It's funny because there are so many ads that achieve the exact opposite of what they're intended to do, which is to make me use their product. The one when the Pizza Hut? Oh, no, the KFC. Oh, Game Day Bucket Go Boom.
That was epic. Yeah. Game Day Bucket Go Boom.
I didn't like the girl in it. She annoyed me.
I was never going to. I would have kicked her out of my house straight away.
I didn't enjoy her way. She wasn't for me.
I've got a two-way tie, and these go back to the 80s, I think. Mentos, back before unintentional comedy, when they thought they were being really cool, but they were so cheesy. And then they were like, give you the thumbs up and flash a smile. And Ovaltine always had the cheesiest commercials.
I don't understand. I feel, again, back to the point about me, you know, there's no, some people don't do anything to get on my wrong side, and yet somehow they get there, and it's on me, not on them. But the two guys, the one who plays the mandolin and the other one who plays the guitar, the Geico commercial is like, hey, how much do they, blah, blah, well, more than Dikembe Mutombo blocking shots. Like, oh, hey, blah, boom, bing, ding, 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 ding. Those commercials, I don't know why those guys drive me crazy. They
drive
me out of my head.
You know what I found out about you?
What?
You, all of these things that annoy you today, they all have like one thread in common. You cannot stand pretentious hipsters.
Those are, I didn't know those were.
Of course, those guys are hipsters.
Yeah. Yeah, it's even there a lot of the the kids with
I'm behind you 100% on this, by the way.
The thing is, and this is a snarky and cynical thing to say, but I do find that people who clearly must put a lot of time into their look, you know, and I listen, it's always fascinating to realize a few things when you look at other people. One, everybody has, or you know, 99.9% of human beings have two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. Isn't it remarkable, then, that we can look so different, given that those things are in place, that nobody looks alike? I mean, we're not talking about wild, you know, inch differences. We're talking about millimeters of difference in, like, in the flare of your nose and how far your eyes are spaced apart. No one looks alike, and even though we all have the same things. That's weird. That's a very basic little tidbit. Then, when you go beyond that, people who have to consider their look. It's always funny to think, when whoever you see, look around the office, look around the streets and think, yeah, that guy or that woman looked in a mirror before they walked out and said, yep, this is it. This is what I'm going with today. Most people look in a mirror before they walk out the door. It's surprising that when you see that what they came up with as their best option. Two, and three, the people who devote so much time to waxing their mustache and creating that look and the tattoos just being just so and the outfit. And there are a lot of people now, the new hipster thing. When I got to L.A., the thing was the swingers thing was dying down. And there were guys walking around, unironically, they looked like they were at costume parties. So they had the big chains with their wallets and their keys and everything. And they had those zoot suit kind of things on, and they had the wife beaters and all that stuff. That's given way now to the new hipster, which dresses like he works it, like he's you know, an Oklahoma dust farmer or something, a dust cropper or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly.
Or they
what
look
mean.
Like they're an extra in Oliver Twist or something. You know,
give them a pitchfork and a sour puss.
Yeah, or like I say, yeah, their coats are overly long. Everything's some shade of brown. And I realize if you're that devoted to cultivating a look like that, it consumes enough of your time. So it's not surprising that a lot of those people don't have a lot to say. Their personality is their look. That they've replaced an actual personality with cultivating this character that they show to the world. True?
I don't think I have any more to add to that. That was perfectly summed up.
Have we covered it all today except for football? We talked about everything but football today.
We got some DeSean Jackson talking.
That's
there.
True. We talked a little Raiders.
That was just Damashek sucking up to Tom Brady. Hey, let's throw some football in here while Tom's here.
Don't tell him I said that. I hope he stopped listening by now. Game of Thrones premieres on Sunday, Handsome Hank. I know you're excited. I've been watching them. I've gone back and been taking a look at them. All three seasons. It's amazing that I still really don't understand exactly what's going on.
I watched three of them last night from the first series. It's fun to see what the people look like. Wow, they've aged a lot during this.
Isn't it funny,
like,
too?
It's that old.
Can we just give a friendly spoiler alert here for anyone who hasn't seen Game of Thrones, just in case?
I mean, I'm not going to give anything away.
Spoiler
because,
alert.
As Dave said, and I was about to agree with, I still don't know really what's happening. The other thing that frustrates me is that this will be the fifth series, I think.
Is season four, right?
That's how far. I follow this religiously, almost. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what series we're in. And I don't really know what anyone's name is. And I find the thing about, we've been talking recently in the podcast about True Detective, which was a series we both enjoyed, and there was a story that we were both very into and followed very closely. After an episode has ended, I will sit there for 5 minutes and reflect on it and go, wow, that was really entertaining and whatever else. 25 minutes after that, if you ask me what happened or like how does this fit into the whole legend of Game of Thrones, I won't even be able to tell you what happened.
Well, upon a second,
it's like fast food. It's like it's delicious, and then I really.
But the heaviest fast food ever. It's like a giant burrito being dropped into your belly, and yet you still don't. But it's very satisfying. Is the difference? Somehow you feel satisfied by it, but when you go back and watch it for a second time and even a third time, I'm pretty lucid when I'm watching TV shows and movies and follow what's happening in them for the most part. Really, a year removed, I go back and watch them, and it really is. I had no recollection of this whatsoever. Oh yeah, that happened. Oh, I didn't remember that at all. And So now, without too many spoiler alerts, Black Tie asked an interesting question yesterday. What was it, Black Tie?
Well, I did it. We had Clint Ward on Twitter. He wanted to know if you could have any character from Game of Thrones defend you in a trial by combat, who would it be?
Well, I mean, for me, it would be two answers, because do I get it at the start of the series, everybody's intact, or are we talking right now?
Well, let's do it right now. It's about to, you know, season four starts Sunday. Let's do it right now.
Well, the only answer to this, the only reasonable answer is Khaleesi, as long as she has her dragons. If she has three dragons, then that's the end of it. And I don't understand, in the story, as long as she retains these three dragons, where the series could possibly go without her winning. I mean, now I will say, you go back and watch the end of the third season, she is set up as essentially this Christ-like figure, a female Christ-like figure, taking care of the slaves and freeing everybody in this this deified creature now, who also happens to control fire-breathing dragons that are growing. She would win. Yeah, but that means she can't, it's too easy. She has to lose then.
I think you give our friend J.R. Tolkien, or whatever his name is, who's writing these.
George R.R. Martin. Tolkien, right. Is Lord of the Rings.
Well, I mean, and I do that, but same thing, same idea, same family, different name. I think you give him too much credit if he's thinking about Christ. Like, where True Detective, and again, you know, coming back to this, we got very much into like the myths that were behind the story and whatever else. I feel like he just every time he's just out there just writing, having fun. He's just like, oh, okay, let's make this happen. I don't think there's any myths or anything else in there. He's just like having a great time putting some nice pictures out.
Well, the two baddest, I mean, like, listen, if you go back, the two baddest guys in the Seven Kingdoms are Jaime Lannister and Drogo. When the series starts, you know, that's when it starts off. Those are the two best fighters.
And Ned
you would
Stark
think.
Was a,
Ned
was
Stark
a,
Ned is
Stark.
In there.
Jaime Lannister is a pretty boy. You're falling for all that hype.
Well, I encourage you, go back and watch when Ned Stark hooks up with Jaime Lannister, and they have a pretty good fight, but Jaime Lannister is on the cusp of dispatching Ned until Ned gets stabbed by a spear.
I disagree.
In the leg.
You've seen it twice. I've seen it three times. I disagree.
All right. Well, clearly you've shown that your retention for television and movies is sublime. So I guess I have to defer to you. But I still say Drogo and Jaime Lannister. So it's interesting because Drogo's now dead. Still sad
what?
About Drogo. You go back and watch. Don't listen. That's season one. If you don't know that Drogo's dead, then no, you don't complain.
I'm only about six episodes in.
Guess what? Drogo's gonna die.
I don't even know who is that. Khaleesi's husband.
That's right. Yeah, that makes
Mr.
you happy. Khaleesi. Now she's available.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, maybe
Wesley.
Remember,
do you remember? I actually was watching.
Hey, I like you and your dragons. I couldn't help but noticing your friend Drogo is no more. He got stabbed on the chest and got some weird sort of disease or something, and then he died. Now I'm available. You're available. 1 + 1 = 1. You know what I'm saying?
If and you can find it in your heart.
Don't do an impression of yourself. That's too much.
The battle I'd like to have seen, and I'd forgotten until last night when I was watching the first series again, the battle I'd like to see is King Joffrey against Khaleesi's brother, who is incredibly annoying. Like,
oh,
almost
yeah.
King Joffrey annoying. I think those two fighting to the death would have been interesting to watch.
Wonder how the Wolf King would do. We don't know if he's a good fighter, do we? Well, now it doesn't matter.
Which one's the Wolf King?
I don't know.
Don't do that.
I can't talk about the Wolf King. Hey, there are so many good questions. As while you're reading, I'm looking at some other things here, Black Tie.
You do have a TA segment to go take.
I know.
In Milo about 5 minutes.
Milo McKean says, what's the best fictional football uniform? The Dillon Panthers, all blue, gets his vote. What's our vote? The one that we see, oh, man, that's something I'm going to have to think about. You know what's a smart-looking getup I like? It's the Sharks in any given, yeah.
You like? I thought those were hideous.
The uniforms, almost across the board, the uniforms that they play in are awful. But those ones are pretty cool. It's like essentially what the Brooklyn Nets are wearing in basketball now. Mm. Just all black with a little white trim. I thought those were not too bad. That's off the top of my head, though. Wes, you got any thoughts? I'm trying to think of fictional football movies. Throw out the fictional movies. All the Right Moves, Ampipe, where you know, we've been talking about that one. They wear the gold jerseys with gold hats and black pants. Those are pretty good.
North Dallas 40, Semi-Tough.
Yeah, not bad.
Wildcats.
Oh, yeah. How about the Mean Machine? When they get their new uniforms, the inmates, and they come out in the all black. That's pretty cool.
I'll go with
Might
that
Might be
one.
Those.
Yeah, smart. All right, well, listen. Good luck. Enjoy your Game of Thrones, Handsome Hank. Black tie. Thanks for jumping in here, Wes. Important
My
conversations.
Pleasure.
I'm glad you could be a part of it, and you really helped us out with Fenestembo. You really made me look good in front of the boss today. I really appreciate
good.
You doing that. Now, I
He's telling that he wouldn't grade your podcast.
No, indeed. I figure that when we walk outside this door that I'm going to get a stern talking to. Mm-hmm. Just exactly what in the hell do you think you're doing? Talking about full hoppiness and such. I mean, but imagine. Full hoppiness. And by the way, this went on for 45. Oh, I have to tell the best. Let me tell the end of this story. So this guy, after holding court for 45 minutes, and it really did go on and on, analysis of IPAs and what makes this and everything else.
I think our listeners will be able to understand exactly what you mean by going on and on.
Point for Handsome Hank. You're allowed to score on me. I'm not above that. Now listen. This conversation is punctuated with, then they get into Guinness, and then they get into Boddington's. You know, Boddington's is
a beer. I love Boddington's.
Well, a lot of people
really?
Like Boddington's. Boddington's isn't for me. It's got the hydrogen pull as opposed to the – or nitrogen pull as opposed to the CO2 tank.
See, you're becoming that guy now.
Well, I just know that you have to hook it up to a different canister right. of gas versus the other, because I had to do it when I was bartending. But anyway, so all this thing about – he knows everything about IPAs. Somebody says, what about Boddington's? This guy's never heard of it. Never doesn't know what it is. What? I mean, you can't hold court about beer for an hour and then not know what a beer that we've all had for all our lives is. That's what you have to see. That's how you know pretentious hipster. We don't like it, Wes. Me and Wes park our cars in the same garage.
A good irrational fear.
All right, we are going to be back with another podcast later on this week. Handsome Hank, thanks for coming in, Wes. Black tie, and to you, the listener. Back with more later on. In the meantime, thanks so much. It's been a Thin Slice Ahead.